Hello everybody, I'm on the Havila Castor, the newest ship of the Havila Cruise Lines, together with Captain Bjørn Ivar Pedersen, and we will talk about leadership, about human factors aspects, about challenges in being a captain and working together with a crew. We try to find similarities of an aviation, of an airline captain as I am, and of a ship's captain as Bjørn is. And I'm sure it will be a very interesting time to find out what we have in common and maybe where the differences in our work is. Bjørn, yes. You created almost an emergency this morning. When I was on the deck, you blew your horn and it's terribly loud and it was so surprising, I even almost fell down to the water.
Yeah. And that is not unusual. Yeah, we do. We did the party past the Arctic Circle this morning, and then we have a tradition that we blow the horn to let people know that we are entering the Arctic waters. And of course, this is a special occasion for a lot of people that is traveling. Of course, it's high north, and we have a competition. The people guess time that we are passing, and the prize is the flag that was up when we passed the circle, signed by me with time and date and this thing, and it's. It's really good, it's funny, and some people guess very accurate. So that is a tradition we have.
Yeah.
And we also do this in ports between 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening. We blow the whistle. You know, this is from the old days when the coastal steamer was started. There was a northbound signal and a southbound signal. And this was due, there was no phone, there was no, communication was not so good. So you know when you hear one long blast, one short, and one long blast, you know it was the Northgower coastal steamer that was coming to port.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was the signal, so the people around should know that the coastal steamer was coming to port.
Mm-hmm.
Because you shall not go so many years back, because this was the lifeline along the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To get the post, to get people and everything, it was.
Yeah.
It was a really big way of transporting. It was before the planes and the buses and these things. So the seaway was the way to get from the north to the south.
Yeah. And it seems still to be very important. I mean, you have still the postal service on the ships, and you also have the tourists like us.
Yeah, we don't have the post. That is, we have stopped that, but we have goods. We pair, here we can carry 200 pallets mm-hmm. of goods.
Mm-hmm.
40 pallets of frozen if you need, and 40 of cooling and otherwise ordinary goods. And this is really important for the coast. Mm-hmm. And you know, as we are 11 ship training this route, so there is goods going all the way.
Yeah.
We saw that especially in the pandemic, how important it was, especially up in the north, in Finnmark, where we were more or less the only transporter on the coast to get to get food and fruits and everything for the community up in Finnmark. And you know, the fishermen went outside fishing, and we carried the fish from Finnmark into Lofoten for further processing.
Yeah.
So that was, even though it's, things have changed, so we saw when we were highly needed in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So therefore, everything was shut down,
mm-hmm.
but the government needed, let two of the ships go from Bodø to Kirkenes, to ensure the provision of the people up in the north.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So it seems important, eh?
Yeah, it is really mm-hmm. important. And I think everyone that lives from Bergen to Kirkenes, they have a very strong heart for this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a kid, back in Stokmarknes, where this was founded, we were only, when we were kids, when we knew the kystruten arrived, we traveled down to the quay and looked at the ships, you know, every day. And this was normal.
Yeah.
So we are, we are grown up with this. And it's by heart, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have a whistle, you call it, on my plane as well, but nobody will hear it in 10,000 meters.
No, it will not. No, but that is an important part of it. That is a part of our identity, of course. Mm-hmm. So this is a tradition we will keep further on.
Yeah. So the ship has a length of around more than 120 meters. You have a crew of around 70 persons at the moment.
Yeah.
What are the challenges you face as a captain?
Yeah, the challenges can be, of course, be different. But My main task as a captain is to make ensure of the safe operation of the ship. Yeah. And then I have department leaders. You know, I have one hotel manager in charge of the hotel, one chief officer in charge of the deck crew, and one chief engineer in charge of the engine department. So of course I do. I have a really good communication with these department leaders. You know, notice for breakfast. We always eat breakfast together, mm-hmm. discuss the day. Do we have any challenges? Do we have anything that? So it's a part of the that we do for breakfast and lunch. We have these meetings, and of course I'm around the ship, talking to the crew and make sure that we have an open door policy here. So I'm available at all time for crew, whatever the need should be. Actually,
that's very interesting. I just bought a book yesterday about the Norwegian culture.
Yeah.
It seems to be a funny book, but it has, I guess, a lot of truth in it.
Yeah.
And it is said it's like a very equal society. And in this, I mean, you talk about the morning and the lunch meetings you have with your crew to be approachable, to do. I would compare it to a briefing. We do pre-flight. Before we go on a flight, we do a briefing, which starts about 1.5 hours before the flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crew gathers together and we talk about important things, about special passengers, the weather situation, of course. We do a pre-flight planning. And we also talk about a kind of an emergency situation that we could imagine how we would handle it.
Yeah.
So to assure a good communication, we have a lot of procedures.
Mm.
Do you have standard procedures?
We have standard procedures though, but you know, as we are here divided in three groups, you could say. So of course the hotel department, they have this morning meeting discussing the day of their tasks.
Mm-hmm.
The chief officer has morning meeting with the bosun to discuss their tasks for the day, and the chief engineer as well to plan the day with the first engineer though. So we are doing this every day, you know, but in different departments. I cannot be involved in all of this, so I get my information from the head of departments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, could be anybody in the crew when you are at the table could approach you and say, Björn, I have a question or I have a remark.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah, and they do.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So not a high hierarchy.
No. I wouldn't say so. But of course, it's needed, of course. But I guess all of us here see the importance of being approachable. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the biggest advantage for you being approachable?
Yeah, the biggest advantage for me is that I, if there is anything wrong, if something is going on, that I get to know about it, because the captains are the normally the last one to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, and I want to be not the first, but I want to know as soon as possible if something is, it can be whatever it is. So that is the best part of being approachable.
Yeah.
And I also have, of course, the communication with the crew. That's mm-hmm. important for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think being approachable is, it's very important.
Call
and
it
I know all my colleagues are more the same. It has been a culture like this in this Kystruten for as long as I can remember.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember days when I started more than 30 years ago as a first officer, a young pilot. It was not the same culture as we have it today.
No.
Today we're talking about a speak-up culture. It is important for us to be approachable. Because as you say, I think it's important that I, as the captain, I'm not last to know, but everybody else knows already. Because if I don't know, I cannot take any action.
No.
It seems to me like in the earlier days there were fears. Maybe CEOs fear if their people start to think with them, have the feeling of losing control. But I think it's not the case. I am the captain, I have the last decision, you as well.
Yeah.
I have no fear of people bringing up their ideas, their thoughts.
No, I totally agree with you, because we are around 70 in crew, you know, we work as a team. I need, if things are going to go smooth, and we need to have everything going, we need to have the cabins cleaned, you know. You need to have the food served, you need to have the reception. So in this big wheel, everyone has an important role. Yeah. So that is, we have to work together. We have to find the best solutions together due to the working environment and of course to do the best service for our guests that is on board. That have planned this for a long time. It's a time of their life going with the coastal steamer, and it's very important for us that we make the best product that is possible for us, for our guests. And this is by being approachable. I think we'll have a good environment, indeed, with being approachable.
Still interesting. You tell me you are approachable, and I believe you, really. But when you, as the captain, walk through the ship, I think, oh, this is the captain. May I talk to him? It's interesting. My feeling and the culture is still, this is the captain of the ship. He's maybe not approachable to me as a passenger, but you would be, I guess.
Yes, I am. And of course, I noticed that from time to time, that meet people in the hallway, I say hi, you know, and say, oh shit, that was the captain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like when I go to, when we have first class, business class, and the economy class, and I'm special passengers, I go and greet them.
Yeah.
Because we have many loyal customers, and also the first class passengers love to be greeted by the captain.
Yeah.
And so we do it whenever we have time.
I see when I pass through the corridors, you know, or wherever I am, just stop and say hi, you know, it's really nice and these things. And it's not so much that that you have to do to make a good day for the guests.
Yeah. They feel like you notice them, and I guess this is important.
Yeah, that is important. Yeah. The good thing is to try to relate to yourself when you are on holiday.
Yeah,
what
exactly
do you expect from the other part?
Yeah.
So if you start there, I think this is a good start for how you should behave as a leader.
Now we go, my question would be, the next one is like education. How many years does it need to become a captain of a ship like this? How many years of experience?
Yeah, it's of course individual, but I would say around 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think that is more or less a minimum. 10 years, but you know, in this kystruten, it has been for 130 years. You know, we are celebrating this year, 130, and up till a few years ago, this was no one changed jobs. When they start in the kystruten, they was there the whole life. You know, and that was normal these days.
Yeah,
the captains, no one, there was no rotation. You know, because no one quits. People stay here, but the latest started to change around. Yeah, 2012, 10, around. Then we have a change because the offshore market was growing, and there was, so we have some rotation around the.
Usually we have around 12 years before, that's an average, to become a captain.
Yeah.
And that's good, I guess, for to have the education, to experience challenging, difficult situations as well, and to handle them, and to learn from the captain.
Yeah.
When you're still.
But when I say 10 years, it's from you get your license
to
you get the captain, and then you have an education program for 2, 4, 6, 7 years, so you can say 17 to 20 years before you are captain.
Ah, okay, 17 to 20 years.
With the education, when I say 10 to 12, that's from you get finished from school and get your license and start sailing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's like a seafarer school, and then you go on the ship and you learn from your fellow colleagues.
Yes.
So what? How do you educate your first and second officers?
Yeah, of course, when people come new to us, you know, we have a training program, of course. Mm-hmm. And so before you can enter a position, you have to go through a training program that we are. And then they start sailing with us. They start at navigational officers with the chief officers, and the chief officer is getting his knowledge to the navigational officer. So when we sail, we talk about which heading we should have, which distance from shore, the lighthouses, and all these things. And this is where we start. Mm-hmm. We also start very early to get the crew to maneuver the ship.
Yeah.
Because it's important that everyone can maneuver the ship. And I usually say, so if everyone is better than me than to maneuver, then I have a perfect life. So we train that all the time. Rune here, he is driving a ship like he has never done anything else. And of course, so we are training. And of course, as the skills get better, they can try in weather-wise, you know, we have a lot of challenges in the winter time. with the bad weather, winds and these things. So it can be a challenging maneuver. So we train them all the way to get to the next.
So like a step by step.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting when you say you are lucky, the luckiest captain even, if somebody is in some points better than you.
Yeah, of course.
For me, it's the same because then I know I can trust in their capabilities, their knowledge, their skills.
Yeah.
And it's cool for me because it's relaxing. I have good people. But when I look out in companies, in other sectors, could be also the industry on shore. Some bosses, some managers really fear it, having people better than themselves below in the hierarchy.
Yeah. From the old times, knowledge was power, you know.
Yeah, it was.
But society has changed a lot. And to be a captain now, or as short as 20, 30 years ago, it's a big, big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have changed, society has changed. You have to handle people otherwise than you did for 30 years ago. So you need to be a part of the...
of the crew?
Yeah, a part of the crew, but as a captain, you need to understand that that things have changed, you know.
And this is very similar what you told me to before now to my job as well.
Yeah.
Now, leadership. What is your leadership style?
Yeah, I want to be a clear leader. I want to be an approachable leader, and I want to be an including leader.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of things that is fixed together. Yeah. So, and as a leader, I want the best out of my people. I want to do the job. I want to that they have the most interesting experience at work. I want them to feel that we see them, that we are feeding them with inputs and knowledge to get the get better in their jobs, you know. And how do we do that? Well, for the first, I be myself. That is the first and most.
Being authentic, part. You mean?
Yeah. And as I say, open door. I talk to everyone.
Yeah.
I can if I'm downstairs. If I eat with the ABs or the apprentice or the officers, that doesn't matter for me. Yeah, the food tastes the same, and I have a good talk with everyone. Yeah.
I love your words, and I guess this is, when we first met, I had the feeling that there is a match between our leadership style, because what you say is, it could be the same, like I would maybe find the words describing a good leadership style, but I know it's depending on the situation, and sometimes it's a very clear autocratic leadership, maybe if we are in an abnormal or emergency situation, if I don't have time to ask everybody for their opinion first. And if I have time, I try to include the persons to think with me, to bring up options, solutions, and then at the end, I choose the right solution, and then we execute this and hope that we have chosen the right one.
Yeah, I used to say it's a time for everything. It's a time for joy, it's a time for seriousness. And there I also say that you have to be a clear leader as well, you know, that is important. But you should not be so clear leader that you push everyone away. Then you have made it the wrong. You know, you have to be a. But as you say, when we have situations, then you have to be straightforward and take the decisions. And of course, on behalf of the feedback you get, sometimes you have time to get the feedback. Sometimes you don't. That is our role as a captains.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do the decisions there and then. So.
Exactly.
And of course, we have to make sure that. Also, we have to try to get most information that we can to get the right decisions.
Yeah.
So it's teamwork all the way. Yeah, it is.
You talked about feedback. When I get the Norwegian culture right, it means if I don't get any feedback, I did my work well enough.
Mm.
I'm not sure. How do you handle it? I mean, let's say I would be your first officer on the deck and we go into a port. And my maneuver was not perfect. Will there be a debriefing?
Yeah, it will indeed, that all the time. And that is a part of going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have to transfer my skills to Rune, you know,
it's
sailing for the moment. And when we are starting docking, we are going to go docking in earnest in half an hour or something, and then you can join us to have a look. But if he is docking, if I see something that is, if I can give him tips and hints for the docking, he gets this all the way, you know. I say, okay, now you have to come a little bit to starboard, a little bit to port, and you have to use the thruster, so and so, and these things. So we have a communications during the whole
whole maneuver.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, if it gets really bad, I take over, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we do a debrief. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what was good and what was wrong, but of course, as they get more experience, you know, and of course, the most important thing as a bridge resource management. So when the people come new on board here, we always tell them, I'm the captain, chief officer, you know, when I'm off shift, I have a chief officer is going, he is docking and sailing and doing all these things because we are going 24/7. Okay, you are my first officer.
Mm-hmm.
We are docking. You see the stern coming in there very fast, you know. And you think, shit, is this right? Should I say anything? And then it's the first thing I say, if you see something that you don't seem to be normal, you have to tell me. You have to give me a heads up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because 99% I have control. But the 1% I'm interested to catch.
Yeah.
So we have a very, very low limit. So Rune can say to me, Bjørn Ivar, you're coming fast. So we talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he can also catch me up. Yeah, and that is important. It's good communication. That is bridge resource management in practice.
But it's also similar to what I do. We have the so-called crew resource management.
Yeah.
Good communication, for example, closed loop communications. So when I say something, I want to have an answer from him that he has heard me.
Yeah.
Or like you do, like the docking procedure, this talking, yes, I see we are a little bit fast, we're a little bit close, I will correct it like this. So you know in the loop that I would be aware of any situation and I would take action like this. And after a flight, we always do in the crew a debriefing, what we did good on this flight and what we would like to improve, where we made some errors or mistakes.
Mm.
It's just normal we do this kind of debriefing. Yeah.
We don't do a debrief after, but of course it's one thing to get alongside in like this, you know, clear day, no wind, and you get in with 20 meters per second.
Mm-hmm.
And these things, a lot of variation, you know.
Yeah.
And also for the information you have, if you have weather like this, we take a short brief, you know. If you have really bad weather, we have a longer brief. So it depends on the circumstances around us.
Yeah. That is similar to us as well. We have a briefing before every approach, every landing. We do a crew briefing, so we go through the most important points.
Mm.
So we have we call it a shared mental model.
Yeah.
Do you know this term?
Yeah, I guess it's similar to our bridge resource management.
Yeah, I guess
it's all about communications and knowledge about what should we do. And because if I don't tell Rune what I'm intended to do when I'm docking, he is not. He cannot give me input if something is not according to my plan.
Yeah.
So that's important too.
Yeah, this is the crew coordination. Yeah, I also feel is really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do, if the weather is really bad, I mean foggy, I can do an automatic landing. Mm. Can you do an automatic docking?
No. All manual. All manual. Yeah.
Even in the thick fog conditions?
Yeah. All manual.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when it is stormy weather, we also have to do the manual landings, even if people think everything is automatic in a cockpit, it's not.
No, we don't have any automatic docking for system. You know, some of these offshore ships and this working vessel, they have this DP, dynamic position system, but we don't have it, and actually we don't want it.
Okay.
No, but because we have a very very tight schedule. We have in 11 days, we have 64 ports, so it's going three or four arrival departure for each watch we are going. No, but we do everything manually. We do the narrow parts as well, steer manually.
And where do I learn this as a young second officer? When I come from school, I am what? I'm a navigation officer?
Yeah, you're navigation officer.
Okay, and then I progress to a second officer?
Yeah.
And then to the first officer?
Yeah.
And then to the eventually the captain?
Yeah.
Where do I learn to steer this ship?
Yeah.
Is it in a simulator?
No. You learn it with your chief officer just behind you, telling you what to do, and make sure that if something is not correct, he will take over.
He needs to be very careful, because the mass is, it's an immense mass.
Yeah. But we start in open waters, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we are processing, and then we are getting further as the skills are improving.
Yeah.
So we start very light, When you come here, start maneuvering, for example, we always start with that you will leave the dock. You never start with getting to the dock, you will leave. So then I have my first officer, or chief officer has his first officer, and he will stand together with him on the bridge wing, telling mm-hmm. him what to do, you know, mm-hmm. and be very close to him, to watch him, and start to get the feeling of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, if things are not going the way you want, you just take over, you know, and just take over the command.
Yeah.
But we have, that's the only way to learn it. You have to do it. We are always ready, so they would not get the time to mess it up before we take over, if
it's
you
good.
Can say it like
it's
that.
It's good. So, I mean, it's similar to my job as a captain, but in the last 50 feet before the runway, before we touch down, it's almost too late to do anything. Mm. When it is messed up, but then yes, again, as you say, we need to be as early as possible with taking action before.
We are doing this a lot, you know, and the chief officer is a really, really skilled, all the chief officers, and of course many of the first officers, but when you are new, we can only see if you have control or not. And mm-hmm. if we are in the slightest, if I'm considering, do he has control or not, I will take over.
Okay.
And then we try the next part. Yeah. Start with the open, easy ports first, and then we get further on as they get skills. And this is also what doing this job so really, really interesting. And I have to say, I'm just amazed over the young people that comes on board, how quick they take it. So it's, and of course here we have RC pods, you know, we can turn the propellers 360 degrees.
Yeah.
We have two bow thrusters. So the ship is very maneuverable as well.
When I see your docking maneuvers in these narrow ports, yeah, high respect for what you do.
Yeah, thank you. In 11 days, you know, we have 64 ports, and we have a rotation of 22 days, you know, so we have 128 in the working period. So the chief officer has half of them, and I have the other half. So,
mm-hmm.
and I split them with the first officer, and he splits it with the first officer.
Okay.
That is.
Yeah. But that's similar to my job.
In good weather, we can do this. But of course, as the challenges increases, mm-hmm. when the weather is bad, you know, I do all the arrivals myself, and all does the chief officer if it's really bad weather. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. What is interesting, when I have a number abnormal or an emergency situation, I try to let pilot the plane by my first officer, so I have the time and the capability to think and to lead the situation.
Yeah. That is really important, I believe, because as a captain, I should get a little bit away from the situation, to try to make the full control. I will not get to steer the ship, then I will set one of the navigators to steer it. And we have, of course, if we have an emergency, we have a team up here on the mm-hmm. bridge. We have some for the communication, and some for log writing, some for sailing, some for communications. So all this here on the muster list has, so mm-hmm. everyone has the task in the, mm-hmm. in the situation. And of course, my job then is to be to have the complete overview to get the right decisions.
Yeah, the overview is the captain's job, I guess.
And then sometimes you have to try to get a little bit back and see the whole situation.
Yeah, I have maybe two more or three more questions to get to a nice ending of our interview. I mean, one of the most famous questions I'm being asked as a captain of an airplane is, did you already have an emergency?
Mm.
And of course I had some kind of emergencies, but I never had to do an emergency landing with no engines, like Captain Sullenberger, for example. Yes, I had issues with the engine, I had issues with the steering and passenger issues. What would be your most challenging situation to describe in all these years?
Yeah, of course, if you lose power, you lose your propellers, for example. That is, of course, really demanding situations. That is not very likely.
Yeah.
You know, we have two separate engine rooms, we have two separate propellers, and also have our anchor ready. So, but of course, I think what we fear most on this ship is a fire.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's the same on the plane. Fire and smoke is, I guess, the worst thing.
Worst scenario. Yeah.
Because then we have a limited time to react.
Yes. And also, if you have a bad weather situation, are you able to evacuate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of questions around this. So many variations of what can happen. You know, so you have to be prepared for everything.
Yeah.
And of course, we are training for this. We have we train every week. You know, mm-hmm. fire departments train mm-hmm. every week. We have a full-scale evacuation drill every 11th day, and training with evacuation groups. And we do a lot of training, really a lot of training. So that is the highest important for us yeah. to be ready to take care of the situation.
And you can do it within your work. We do it twice a year in the simulator, of course. Yeah. So, what is the question maybe that you would like to answer, but nobody asks you? But you always waited for so long that somebody would ask you about this.
No, I cannot think any particular question. Okay. To be honest with you.
That's good. That's good.
Maybe when you leave, I could come to something.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Then afterwards, we will have an idea yeah. about the famous
no,
best
I,
question.
No, I don't have any. But we get a lot of questions, a lot of interesting questions. That is also a good part of the job, because sometimes the people ask me things I really have to check up, you know. And mm-hmm. then I get some knowledge as well mm-hmm. Out of it at the end. So. Yeah.
So what else should I ask you? Is there something I should ask you or something you would not want to tell me?
A lot. No, I can ask me everything. But as I say, we are an organization that has to work in every part of the step of the hierarchy and all these things. So we need to have a smooth machinery all the way it's going. And of course, it can be sometimes really demanding, but mm-hmm. most of the time it's a real pleasure to be a captain. Mm-hmm. See you sailing in this beautiful weather, mm-hmm. good crew, as you, I guess, I love my job. That is plain as simple.
Yeah. I love my job, really. And I'm not sure if I love these sunny days where the captain's life is easy or these terrible days where something technically goes wrong, passengers go wrong, we have to show our capabilities, because these days are demanding and in a way they are interesting as well. Yeah. But I better wish the sunny days, usually.
Yeah, no, of course. But this is also a part in this route, in this route. We have really challenging days. We have really easy days. And we have, you know, the weather on the coast of Norway shifts a lot, mm-hmm. especially in the winter time. So you can have trips that you have bad weather from start to stop. And of course, that this it's quite a demanding trip. But with a good trained crew, it works out good. But of course, sometimes we have to cancel ports if the weather is bad. We have to cancel open sea stretch because the weather is too bad. It happens. The ship can handle it, but we don't want to expose our passengers for mm-hmm. this distance.
That's a good point. My aircraft can handle and take a lot, but the passengers don't like it.
No.
So, I guess we come to an end. For me, Björn, it was really an interesting time with you talking about it. I could go on for hours.
Yeah, I guess.
But maybe the final words you can give our viewers. Why should they be on a Havila Kisruten voyage like we are today? What is the most famous thing or the nicest thing to experience?
Yeah. I guess the first of all, I would say that the environments of this ship is, we are, I guess, the most environment ship running in this size. Mm-hmm. We have using LNG and we have batteries, so we have lowered the CO2 and NOx dramatically. So we are really environment. We have spent a lot of money to get as most environment as possible. And we have made it as well. Huh? It's a new ship, it's very good facilities, it's nice cabins, and the food is amazing. I have to tell everyone that you have experienced it. And of course, the route from Bergen to Kirkenes is amazing as well. Yeah. Kirkenes-Bergen.
Yeah.
So this is a brand new ship with the best facilities you have. Then the environment aspect has been really, really put on the schedule.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic crew.
It is indeed.
And for me, it's also it's a second voyage, but I guess not my last one.
No, I hope so.
And in summertime, I love this midnight sun situation. It's just never dark. No. And in the wintertime, it was the northern lights, the aurora borealis.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. The variation of the coast of Norway is just amazing.
It is.
Yeah. So you have northern lights, midnight sun, bad weather, good weather, and all this has this charm. I believe.
It's changing a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you very much, Björn, for your valuable time.
joining us. It was a real pleasure.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now we are making ready for the harbor of Ørnes, so then we have to go and do some docking.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we're blowing the whistle.